Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest news on KJAN. Authorities are investigating the robbery of a bank in Council Bluffs, according to Bluffs Police. A black male wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt, blue sweatpants, and a ski mask walked into the American National Bank at 2650 West Broadway at around 10 a.m. The man was brandishing a gun and jumped over the counter and demanded money from a teller before leaving through the bank's east doors. He got away with an undetermined amount of cash. One of the bundles contained a dye pack that exploded as the suspect was on foot. Police officers found a several yards long money trail along Avenue A and followed it back towards West Broadway, but they were unable to locate the suspect. The incident does remain under investigation. A fire that Des Moines police call suspicious has burned for hours, causing significant damage to a church near the state capitol. The fire at the Lighthouse Full Gospel Baptist Church was reported at 3:24 p.m. on Friday. Smoke from the fire was visible hours later in downtown Des Moines. KCCI-TV reported the fire caused significant damage to the church, and there were fears that the building could collapse. Des Moines police called the fire suspicious and detained a man near the church, and they were questioning that man. All those in the building escaped, and no injuries were reported. Police have removed a man from a rural Iowa home after hours of negotiations that followed the discovery of an apparent homicide victim on a nearby road. Linn County Sheriff Brian Gardner told KGAN-TV that a body was discovered Friday morning northwest of Alburnett along the Wapsipinicon River about 20 miles north of Cedar Rapids. He says police received a 911 call about 9 a.m. on Friday. A responding officer found the body in the middle of a rural road. Members of a police SWAT team surrounded a house that's located deep inside a wooded area and began negotiations with someone inside. The Gazette reports authorities used chemical irritants to force a man out. After a struggle, officers used a taser to restrain him, and that man's name has not yet been released. A former Pella pastor has been convicted by a jury of sexually exploiting women in his congregation. The Des Moines Register reports that 42-year-old Patrick Edward will be sentenced in October on 4 counts of sexual exploitation and of having a pattern, practice, or scheme to sexually exploit. The maximum penalty is 9 years in prison. The jury, which returned its verdict on Friday, acquitted Edward on 3 counts of third-degree sexual abuse. 4 women in his former congregation at Covenant Reformed Church in Pella say they coerced him into having sexual relations. Documents say the incidents occurred from 2003 to 2010. Edward quit his job at the church after the women had complained. The Iowa Health Department is reporting that it has confirmed 5 cases of West Nile virus in the state and is investigating several more cases. The agency on Friday announced confirmed cases in Grundy, Lynn, Lyon, Page, and Plymouth counties. All those sickened by the virus have recovered. In Nebraska, officials say 20 human cases have been confirmed with no deaths reported. The cases in Iowa and Nebraska come amid one of the largest national outbreaks of West Nile. More than 1,100 illnesses have been reported across the country. Iowa health officials say that state figures are typical for this time of year, but they urge people to use mosquito repellent when they are outdoors to protect against the virus. The father of one of 2 missing Iowa cousins is asking for his trial on drug charges to be moved. The Waterloo-Cedar Falls Courier reports that Daniel Morrissey's attorney says his client cannot receive a fair trial in Black Hawk County. Morrissey is the father of 10-year-old Lyric Cook, who disappeared with her 9-year-old cousin Elizabeth Collins while riding bikes in Evansdale on July 13th. Morrissey and his associates have come under scrutiny from investigators because of his criminal history. He was scheduled to reach a plea bargain to meth charges the day before the girl's disappearance, but changed his mind. Defense attorney Kevin Schobrel says a hearing on the change of venue request will happen later. He said Thursday his client's legal problems are unrelated to the disappearance. Officials have dedicated a pedestrian bridge at a Linn County park named for longtime State Senator Mary Lundby, who died in 2009. The bridge dedicated Friday crosses the Wapsipinicon River at Pinnacon Ridge County Park, connecting a campground to a picnic area. The Gazette reports that Lundby of Marion was key in obtaining $500,000 in state funding for the $1.7 million project. The rest came from other county and state funds. Lundby retired from the Senate in 2008 after 22 years in the legislature. She served 4 terms in the Iowa House and was the first ever woman elected as Speaker pro tem. She moved to the Iowa Senate in 1995 and eventually served as Republican leader. She died on January 17th of 2009. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office on Friday morning released the name of a man who died during a standoff with authorities northeast of Shelby on Thursday. Sheriff Mike Hervey identified the man as 48-year-old Larry Tarks of Avoca. Hervey says the sheriff's office was notified of a robbery at the Shelby County State Bank in Shelby at about 11:45 a.m. on Thursday. A deputy who was on duty in the city of Shelby at the time of the robbery, observed a vehicle leaving the city that matched the description of the suspect's vehicle. The deputy engaged in a pursuit, which traveled east of Shelby to the 200 block of Juniper Road. The chase ended after Tarks left his vehicle and entered a rural residence. Sheriff's officials, along with those from surrounding counties and the Iowa State Patrol, established a perimeter around the residence. At around 4 p.m., the Iowa State Patrol tactical entry team, using specialized equipment from the FBI, made entry into the home. Tarks was inside. The sheriff says the man died from a self-inflicted wound. An investigation into the robbery is being conducted by the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. Among the agencies responding to the incident was both Cass County K-9 units, Deputy Corey Larson and his partner Mufasa, and Deputy Kyle Quist and his partner Kane. Online court records indicate two former Nottoway Valley High School wrestlers arrested last year in connection with a hazing incident have pled guilty to harassment and serious assault charges. Judge Paul Husher on Tuesday sentenced 18-year-old Michael Fike and 18-year-old Jacob Wayne Schleisman to a total of 90 days each in the Adair County Jail, followed by 2 years probation. They were facing 2 years in jail. The men each pled guilty to two counts of first-degree harassment and two counts of serious assault. They had originally been charged with second-degree sexual abuse. The charges were later changed to two counts each of felonious assault. Last March, Fike and Schleisman, who was 17 at the time of the incident, both entered pleas of not guilty to the charges of two counts of felonious assault and waived their right to a speedy trial. The incident, which led to their arrest, happened in December of 2011 and pertained to the hazing of a fellow student at the Nottoway Valley Wrestling Squad. The unidentified student had said that the assault happened when he missed a practice session. Subsequent investigation by the Greenfield Police Department indicated there may have been as many as three victims of hazing. Both of the accused teens were expelled from the school. Gasoline prices are up, but so is consumer confidence, and the industry experts are predicting a boost in Labor Day weekend travel compared to last year. Rose White at AAA Iowa says it's the last big travel holiday of the summer driving season, and the highways will be busy. Across the country, they expect about 33 million people taking to the roadways, which is up 2.9% from last year. Of those traveling, 28.2 million will travel by car, clearly the majority, with 85% of those traveling by roadway. Another 2.5 million will travel by air and 2.3 million by other modes, including cruise ship, bus, and rail. She says the number of travelers is expected to reach a new post-recession high and is the third increase in holiday travel this year. White says higher gas prices aren't going to keep people home for Labor Day. Fuel prices are up across the country about 24 cents a gallon during the last month alone. Compared to last year, they're up about 14 cents. That's basically caused by refinery and pipeline issues, but in the upper Midwest, they've had three refinery issues and two pipeline issues that have impacted prices in Iowa and Nebraska. The average price of gasoline for a gallon of self-service unleaded gas in Iowa is $3.67. That's 12 cents a gallon higher than a year ago and 6 cents cheaper than the current national average. And they say that there has been some discussion in Washington about the possible release of strategic petroleum reserves to help drive down prices. And they expect that not will happen by the Labor Day holiday, but they do anticipate prices to start to fall once we pass Labor Day. A AAA survey of intended travelers found most of them will be taking trips of between 100 and 400 miles round trip, and median spending is expected to be $749, an increase of over $702 projected a year ago. An Iowa prosecutor says a state agent had a gun pointed to his head during a botched undercover drug operation and was justified in killing the man and injuring another. Johnson County Attorney Janet Linus said on Friday that Division of Narcotics Enforcement Agent Daniel Stapleton will not be charged in the August 16th shooting that left Ian Hardiman dead and DeMarco Dudley injured. Linus said that Stapleton and another undercover agent showed up at a trailer to purchase drugs as part of an investigation. Two men appeared from a back room with their faces covered in holding clubs, and Hardiman pulled a handgun that he put to Stapleton's head. During an altercation, Stapleton managed to pull his gun from his back waistband and shoot four times, striking Hardiman and Dudley. Taking a look now here at world headlines here this hour, forecasters are predicting hurricane strength by tomorrow for Tropical Storm Isaac. Hurricane warnings have been issued for the Florida Keys, the west coast of Florida from Bonita Beach southward, and for Florida Bay. The watch area currently includes Florida's east coast from Golden Beach southward. The storm brought heavy rain to Haiti and the Dominican Republic. NATO says an airstrike in eastern Afghanistan killed a senior leader of the Taliban in Pakistan, as well as 11 other militants. The raid is seen as a blow to armed extremists operating on both sides of the country's porous border. Greece's prime minister doesn't appear to be making any headway in his effort to get more time for his country to implement painful austerity measures in return for bailouts. France's president isn't offering Greece any immediate relief. Neither did Germany's leader in a meeting yesterday. An explosion at Venezuela's biggest oil refinery has killed at least 19 people. Falcon State Governor Stella Lugo says the victims include a 10-year-old boy and that at least 53 people are injured after the blast in the western part of the country. President Barack Obama says turning Medicare into a voucher program is no way to keep a promise to millions of seniors. In his weekly media message, Obama says his goal is to strengthen Medicare and preserve the program for future generations. Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky says the nation is being hurt by the looting of the Treasury. Take a look now at your funeral announcements. Claire Margaret Peterson, age 99, of Avoca, died Wednesday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Massive Christian burial service for Claire Peterson will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Verley Stuva, age 86, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Verley Stuva will be held Saturday at 10:30 a.m. today at the Avondale United Methodist Church in rural Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Janice Williams, age 86, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Celebration of Life service for Janice Williams will be held Saturday here today at 1 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Norman Bryant Kading, age 88, of Casey, died Wednesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Norman Kading will be held at 10:30 a.m. on Monday at the St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Joyce Ann Marion, age 78, of Guthrie Center, died on Wednesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Joyce Marion will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Bernice M. Byer, age 88, of Atlantic, died on Thursday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Bernice Byer will be held Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here this 9 o'clock hour on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.